Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, what do you, that's all you need to know. So stop on by Friedman's today. John and I are here until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You are here all day long, and they're going to get the grilling up and going, and they've got the great outdoor grills. I'm an amateur, but I like the smokers. I don't know if you're much of a grill guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I like the smoking. I have not graduated to the Big Green Egg. They got the Big Green Egg here. I want to see it in action because I might upgrade my smoking system to the Green Egg. So that's just a tip to you guys. That's top drawer, too. You got to be serious about your smoking if you go to the Green Egg.
That is top drawer.
That is. And they've got one out here. And they've got all the different sizes, too. But the Big Green Egg is the way to go, from what I understand. And if you know anything about it, you feel free to hit me on the text line. Can we access the Chilton Auto Body?
Yes.
We can?
We can. I have the ability to do
95795. John is our IT guy here today, is what he is. John's our IT guy. All right, we got a lot going on here at On Location. I eventually want to circle back to some stuff on the Giants. We're going to talk more 49ers. We're here until 1 o'clock. We got a lot of time to chat, people. But the Giants last night with a win, six homers in 11 innings?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something, John. When the Giants are playing at home, the overriding storyline is, well, should they move the fences in?
Which I say no.
And
I'm on record.
They just hit 11 bombs. I'm sorry, six bombs in 11 innings on the road in the desert.
And I'm trying to think how many. I think all of them would have been home runs at Oracle Park, mm-hmm. except for the one Brandon Belt hit, which
okay.
is...
That's about right.
Par for the course.
That's okay. I love Brandon Belt. I'm a Brandon fan.
Although he tends to find the perfect spot in a lot of ballparks where it just doesn't go out.
He's pretty amazing.
He loves hitting it to the deepest part of every park.
Warning track power is what we call it.
No matter
it.
Where it is. The warning track could be 400 feet away or it could be 380 feet away.
All of a sudden you're in the Mile High City where it's like 460 to straightaway center.
And the ball just... fly. You could hit a line drive over second base, and it'll go out to right center in that yard.
Yep.
But he'll go the other way.
Yep, exactly. And he'll land his right on the track.
Right on the track in left center.
And then here comes Blackman to make the catch. Pretty much.
Charlie Blackman.
Exactly. But anyway, I want to get back to the whole, you got a team that hits six home runs. Is that a one-off? Or is this whole talk about hitting home runs? Because here's the thing.
No, they go into other parks and they look like a normal offense.
But other offenses hit home runs at 3rd and King.
Yeah.
Other offenses have no issue. Going back to when Paul Goldschmidt was the Diamondback.
Well, you know who doesn't have an issue hitting the ball out of the ballpark at 3rd and King?
Who?
Kevin Pillar doesn't.
No.
Mike Yastrzemski doesn't. Alex Dickerson doesn't.
Madison Bumgarner.
What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that the players the Giants have acquired from other organizations actually have some 2018-2019 style thump.
And the guys who won them championships might not.
Yeah, the guys who won them championships hitting 6th and 7th, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford.
Right. You know, my new best friend Pat Burrell showed me a stat the other day.
Pat Burrell could hit him out of anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. He could. But he was showing me a stat the other day about and teaching me a little bit about hitting, and it was a pretty interesting stat. I think he used it on a pregame show this week, and it was regarding when you're a hitter in Major League Baseball and you come up, pitchers will throw, they'll bust you outside with a fastball because that's the furthest point for your eye to track the ball.
That's right.
The furthest point for you.
Right.
So they'll keep busting you
messing with your eyes.
Right. And they're going to keep busting you outside until you prove you can hit the outside pitch. They have no need to come and bring you inside. Once you start slapping the outside pitch, now they'll start moving you inside.
Right. And then you can drive it.
Right.
If you're,
So he said, let's look up guys' averages on the outside fastball. Because you can find metrics, you can find analytics that show you that detail. On a fastball outside, how are guys hitting? The Giants have the worst average guy and the third worst average guy on fastballs on the outside corner and hitting them in Major League Baseball. They're both in the 100s. If I'm not mistaken, it's 168. I'm sorry, 169 and 163 are two of the three worst averages on fastballs in the outer part of the plate. Okay? So if you're following me on that.
I'm following you.
The two guys are the two Brandons.
Yeah, of course.
And
that doesn't surprise me at all.
Until you do that, why does a pitcher have any incentive to do anything but do that? It serve you up steady diets of fastballs on the outer
portion.
They won't. And who is going to pull those guys aside and say, hey, see this? They're doing this to you, and here's how you're hitting it. Let's work on this. Do they have anyone there who's going to do it?
I think the ball that Brandon Belt hit out, to your point, last night,
it was
a fastball. It was something down and in.
Okay. There you go.
Something down and in, and okay. it was 88. You know, it was.
So he could catch up to it in his heat zone.
And it was right there.
Okay.
It was on a tee.
But if I start busting mid-90s low and away, maybe it's a little, maybe, or belt and below and away, he's not going to catch up to that thing. You're not going to be able to pull that bad boy out.
No.
But low and inside, maybe take a little speed up, take a little off it, all of a sudden he can catch up to it. Well, this is a big boy. This is a big boy lead right now, okay? You got to get ready to roll. We'll talk more about the Giants in a second. We got to step aside. We're on location, JD and Co's, Friedman's Appliance, Pleasant Hill. Cars are pulling up, man. They are pulling up and walking inside because they got the best kitchen stuff around. My wife and I come here every time we got a kitchen question, including one dishwasher or two. You know what we did? Double dishwasher.
Wow.
Got two dishwashers in my house.
Okay.
Yeah, I know how to live. That's how you do things. All right? Treat yourself, people. Come to Friedman's Appliance. Take a look at their kitchen setups. You're going to love what they have here. You can join us, 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line. We'll take your texts, 95795, JD and Co's, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game, live from Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Here's John Dickinson and Jim Cosimore.
What's the first thing you look for tonight?
Way back there. Hits onto the balcony. Number three for Yastrzemski. Wow. And he cleared it. And then some. And the Giants are back ahead 10-9.
That's a cool story any way you slice it. To hear number three for Yastrzemski takes me back to my childhood.
Yeah. Carl did that once.
I'm old enough to remember Carl Yastrzemski. Believe Triple Crown winner in 69?
67.
67?
Yeah.
I knew it was an odd number year. I knew it was a prime number.
I dug this
69
up.
69 is not a prime number. 67 is.
No, 69 is not.
No, 69 is not a prime number.
And there goes the license.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I dug this up earlier in the week after Yastrzemski hit a home run. I think it was against the A's. I'm trying to think.
You look for it. You want to get to our caller?
Yeah, let's get to our caller. I got to figure
it out. I believe it's Jay on the phone lines. Jay, welcome in. Jim Cosimore, John Dickinson, Friedman's Appliance, Pleasant Hill. How's it going, man? What's happening, Jay? Welcome into 95.7 The Game.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. I'm a basketball and football guy, but when the Giants went on that like little win streak kind of thing, I kind of started watching it. And the weird thing that I noticed is, with football, the field's 100 yards, basketball, the hoop is 10 feet. Mm-hmm. Why is there different size ballparks? So why isn't there just a standardized size for every team? That's kind of weird to me.
That's, you know what, Jay? You bring up an interesting question. And I think that there are instantly baseball heads who would knock you and laugh at you and say, what a dumb question. I'm totally the opposite side of the fence. You are correct. Football field's 100 yards. End zones are 10 yards, right? You know how wide it is. A basketball court, 94 by 50. 10-foot high rims, three-point shots the same. They don't have a court at United Center in Chicago, that's 84 feet, and the Bulls play differently. They don't have a football field in Philadelphia that's 120 yards, so the kicking game is a different game, John.
It's just part of the deal.
You know?
It's just part of the deal. Goes back to the beginning of time.
Because everyone's field was different, and where they could shoehorn a ballpark in. A city block in Chicago was different than a city block in New York, you know, that was different than a city block in Detroit.
And you know what it is? It's part of the charm. It's part of the charm of baseball.
Can't I keep it charming and have everyone have a uniform outfield? 90-foot bases. I don't have an 85-foot baseline in Chicago. I'm not going to Denver with a 94-footer.
You tell the folks at Fenway that they got to change the
wall.
I'm
going to do it.
You tell the folks at Yankee Stadium they got
to
change.
I'd be the first guy to go to both places.
Yeah.
And stand on a pitching mound and tell them. I would love that. And then I would crotch
grab,
and then I'd walk off the
field.
You know
what? Let's take the bricks out of Wrigley, too, and the ivy while we're at it.
Funny you say that. I think everything should be the same size as Wrigley. Every ballpark should be Wrigley with a basket.
Isn't that convenient? I do like the basket. I do like the basket.
The basket has broken my heart a number of times.
Oh, to the basket!
It seems like more visiting team home runs are going to the basket than home team home runs going to the basket. But Jay's question is fair. But I do. What would be fair dimensions?
I would actually be willing, not to get off on a tangent, but I would be willing to make every ballpark have a basket.
So you'll meet me halfway. So there's a basket everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have them. You know, it's interesting. Did they make the dimensions at Oracle Park because they knew it was sea level? No. Because they knew it was sea. No. Why did they make the dimension? Why is Triples Alley Triples Alley?
I think they wanted to have something unique to that ballpark.
I agree.
And it was that. It was a ballpark that was going to be incredibly difficult to hit it out to right center. And you were going to have triples because triples are they're fun. There aren't many
they
of
are,
them, but
it
triples
was probably
are
the most,
fun.
It's the most exciting play in baseball, right?
And, yeah, and I also think there was a belief initially that that ballpark was going to be easier to hit home runs out of than it is.
Really?
To dead right field. A lot of people don't pull it.
Like, no.
Dead pull.
Yeah, dead pull.
It just doesn't happen as much.
You're right.
And I think when the ballpark opened, remember, it was a guy for the Dodgers, the opening day of the ballpark in 2000, Kevin Elster, I believe.
Oh, I remember that name.
Hit three home runs. Now, he's a right-handed hitter. Mm-hmm. He had three home runs. The very first game at Oracle Park, he had three home runs in the game.
And you think it's a
hitter's park? And it was a day game, and people were thinking, boy, this place is a bandbox.
Yeah, it is. It's a bandbox. It's a hitter's park, and we're going to see this all the time, and scores are going to be huge. It turns out, they win three championships on pitching and defense.
Yeah.
The ball doesn't carry, especially at night. Carries more in the day.
I think it's more about the atmospheric conditions and the weather.
Yes.
As much that as it is right center field. Although they are going to shorten right center field. How much? I don't know. Is it 421 to 400?
Have they said that?
They have not.
Okay.
But it sounds like that's going to happen.
But here's my deal. What if we change the schedule? What if one game of every series was a day game for the Giants? Wouldn't home run totals go up? Just based on the fact you're playing in the day as opposed to playing at night when the ball doesn't carry as much.
I think so.
Let's experiment.
Look at the game against the A's on Wednesday. Afternoon game, it's hot. Actually feels like summer.
Yep. Packed house.
Ball's flying around.
I would petition the Giants to experiment with their schedule and have one home game per series.
They usually do.
A day game.
They usually do. There's a couple of exceptions.
I'm going to pull that up.
They usually do. The Giants like having the midweek day game.
I'm a big fan of midweek day. That's my favorite ball game to go to, midweek day. Better than I'm not a night game guy.
And I think now with the CBA, it's kind of janky as far as what you're allowed to do. I know the Cubs have been hit with this a little bit. The Cubs have far fewer day games. I know the city has something to do with that, too. There's some kind of limit and restriction because of the neighborhood around there. You'd know the particulars of that better.
Yeah.
But they've way knocked it down. I mean, they've knocked it.
Against,
I mean, I don't think – how many – Cubs have maybe 25 or something? It's not much.
Yeah, they're – Now, they have done a pretty good job of keeping the Friday afternoon
games. But that's
games.
About it. It's Friday and then the occasional end of the series, the ones that have to be for the end of a series.
So circle back to the Giants on this. And I like the question, JJ. This is how we got onto it. If the Giants change right field and Triples Alley, it had better be a unique architectural marvel because that's what Triples Alley is right now.
And I think it will be. I think it will be. But see, my question is, if you're going to take out Triples Alley, how far are you going to not? Because, okay, 421 to that corner, right?
Yeah.
The deepest part is 421. So are you going to make 421 400? Are you going to make 421 391? Like, what? How short do you make it?
Well, if you do, but if you do, it's does it still have to have that crooked fence? That takes center field. Are you going to make it flush with the way center field goes and then you're just going to arc it around a little bit? Or are you going to still have that janky sidewall that...
No, I think it's going to end up looking a little bit like Fenway.
Where you have that really jutted out area where there's a bullpen?
Yeah, I think that's exactly...
Do you think you're going to put a bullpen out there?
I think that's exactly where you're going to put the bullpen.
See, here's you know, there's another thing to Jay's question about universal ballparks. Here's another issue I have. If I play for the Oakland Athletics, there's no way I'm ever going to win a batting title, ever. Foul ground is huge. I hate foul ground. I want to be up close. If I'm a fan, I hate the foul ground there. I want to be up close and personal with what's going on in the field.
The good news is the A's don't care if you win a batting title. All they care about is on base and OPS and do you hit the ball out of the ballpark, which they do. And it helps their pitchers.
You don't think they care?
And it helps their pitchers.
It does help their pitchers.
It helps their pitchers. And typically they have average pitchers that are slightly above average because they pitch to that ballpark.
That's always
Tanner Roark.
That's my question every time we talk about a new stadium for the A's or anyone, especially the A's, though. What kind of foul territory are you going to have? And
well, it's important for fan experience. I mean, obviously, you're far off. I mean, I get where you're coming from there.
Yeah. Are you even? And if you ask the objective A's fan, do you have more fun A's-Giants at the Coliseum, or more fun A's Giants at Oracle Park?
It's at Oracle Park. The last few years, more A's fans plan to go when they play in San Francisco than even at the Coliseum.
Yep, exactly.
There's more Giants fans, actually, I think, at the Coliseum. There's a lot more Giants fans at the Coliseum when they play in comparison to A's fans. Like, I think A's fans if they're picking which one to go to, they're picking going over to Oracle Park. And I think part of that is just the chip on their shoulder, you know, nature of A's fan. I think A's fan wants to, we're going to go to their place. I'm going to go to their place and cheer.
There are more Let's Go Oakland chants at Oracle Park than there are whatever giant chant you'd want to try to get up at the Coliseum.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's been an interesting dynamic. Like, there's a lot of Giants fans that go to the Coliseum.
Sure. Are they as vocal about their Giants fandom
in
the same way the Oakland throngs are
I think
at
they
Oracle?
Are. But I also think there's A's fans that are deciding, am I going to go to the game at the Coliseum when they play, or am I going to go to the game at Oracle? And I think they go to the game at San Francisco.
I agree with you.
And part of it is it's a better place to see a game, but I think part of it also is they want to go into enemy territory and be that guy.
And
they like that, which is fun.
Yes, it's pretty objective. A's fan dislikes Giants more than Giants
they want to go
fan
get in Giants fans
it.
Grill.
I hope it doesn't get ugly. That's
no,
all I'm
I
saying.
Just,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, they, but they want to root for their
and
team.
And they also have the better team, which I think
they
makes,
do have the better
makes
team.
You want to go support that team.
They do have the better team, which isn't talked about enough. They're a 70-win team, the Athletics are, 70-52. Half game out of a wild card.
I think it's pretty well known.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as it being talked about.
Right, but I wish the TV numbers indicated that as well.
They just don't have as many fans.
You know, and maybe, but does this start the, if you're a young baseballer, boy or girl right now, who do you watch more? Now, there's one team by far that's the most fun team to watch in the Bay Area. That's the A's. But who are you growing up a fan of? If you're a young baseballer, I'm 10 years old, I like playing baseball. My 10-year-old, at the time, my daughter was 10, she played baseball, not softball. So if you're a boy or a girl, you're coming up playing baseball, you're 10 years old, you're starting to watch teams play, who do you think you're getting indoctrinated in? See, I think the Giants get more attention.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of it has to do with your family. You know, is your dad an A's fan or a Giants fan? Do you want to rebel against your dad? Do you want to root for the same team your dad roots for? I mean, it's all those kinds of things, right?
That's true. That's very true.
You know, I think kids lock on to specific players, too.
I got that.
You know, who's your guy?
Yeah, I got that.
You know, who's your guy? Like, my guy growing up was Will Clark.
Okay.
Like, I just liked the swing. I like, you know.
Yep. My daughter's guy was Coco Crisp.
Okay.
Because she kind of got it.
There you
go. He's a littler guy on the field. They were littler on the field, too.
My best friend's guy was Mark McGwire.
Seriously? That's awesome.
So there you go.
You guys went toe-to-toe.
So we went toe-to-toe.
Had some knockdown dragouts.
Yeah, and 89 was actually the first. I mean, I've told the story a different time, but 89 was the first Giants game I ever went to as a kid, and the first A's game I ever went to as a kid. Was both in 89. First NBA game I ever went to was 89.
That was a landmark year for young JD.
That was a big year.
It was.
So that was the year that, you know, fall in love with baseball, fall in love with sports.
That's cool.
That was the year.
That's cool.
And both teams were good. They ended up playing in the World Series. Think about that. First year really getting into baseball as a kid.
Yep.
And the two teams that you watch go to the World Series. You start to think it's supposed to be that way every year.
Exactly. That's why we had that horrible earthquake, because it's not supposed to happen every year.
It's not.
God was reminding us, hey, you think you got it so good? Not so much. Okay? Just letting you know. Giants and A's, little conversation here, JD and Coase. Back to the races, though. Giants have pulled themselves to within 2.5 games of the wild card in the National League. Are you a believer that this little mini run they've gotten on is something that is intriguing enough that, you know what, you finish off Arizona, you look at your schedule ahead, you still have a series with the Cubs, who are right now a team tied for a wild card spot with the Phillies. You have the Mets in your sights. You've got the Brewers in your sights. Are you a believer that if the Giants continue this way, that even though they're only two over 500, that they are worthy of us having a wild card discussion with them? Or are you like, you know what?
If you're 2.5 out, you can have a conversation about it. I still, it's funny, I was having this conversation with somebody else last night. I don't really view them as in it. Like, I watch them without the view of, oh, they're in a race. Hmm. It feels like they're in this race. And I think part of it is just the teams that are in front of them. And part of it is I just never really at any point coming into this season viewed them as being a contender. And okay, I get that they're a different team now, and Yastrzemski and Dickerson, they're like different players.
I know.
Made them that.
Doesn't it make you feel it should make you more into... In the beginning of the year, we knew it was going to be a crap factory. And it was a crap factory. Now, all of a sudden, they've got my interest. Now, all of a sudden,
Yeah, they have my interest. I mean, I'm watching them every night.
Sure.
I'm watching them. But I was watching the A's last night, too. But I'm watching them every night, but it's more of... Huh, okay, they got some pieces. Like, it's more of a phatic interest. It's more of a just a casual keeping an eye on them because we're going to talk about them. And look, I mean, I know the ins and outs of it. It's you know, I'm still getting out there a couple of times a week, you know, covering them for 95.7 the game. But it's just, I just don't view it like a 16 or a 15 even, or a 14 when they were in the race.
All right, a couple of times you've mentioned this, and I think we should delve into a little deeper. And you mentioned how they added pieces. Pilar, guy who can hit the ball out of the park. Dickerson, guy who can hit the ball out of the park. Yastrzemski, hit three out yesterday. And you said they have pieces. Let me ask you something. These guys that they've cycled through that weren't there early,
I know where you're going.
Are they one-year wonders, got our interest now, you throw them into the mix, they've got their chances? Or do we sit back and say, Yaz is going to be part of my team for the next 3 years?
They might be one-year wonders.
Dickerson is going to be a guy I can count on, even though he's been injured. Every time he's had his opportunity, he's gotten injured, including with the Giants. He started the little run of success. He couldn't even sustain it. He had to get hurt again. Now, I want him to succeed because the backstory on him is pretty cool.
It is.
You know? And
But you nailed it. The history would tell you that he's going to be unavailable more than he is. The history would tell you eventually Mike Yastrzemski's going to really struggle. Like, you can't, you know, are they intriguing pieces that go into next year in your plans? Yes, but they're not so intriguing or such a sure thing that you go in thinking that they're the answer either.
Are those two guys?
You can be in the plans and not be the answer.
Okay, so then let me ask. And to me, Dickerson and Yastrzemski stand out the most. Are those two guys everyday players on your team if they are successful, or are they fourth outfielders on a good team?
I don't think we know.
See, that's the part to me that is most interesting.
And I'll throw this back at you in this way. Would it surprise you next year? And it's going to be a little cynical.
That's fine.
But it's not a statement of fact. It's a what-if scenario. Would it surprise you if Mike Yastrzemski hit, let's say, 22 home runs? I think he's got 16 now.
That's amazing.
Let's say he hits 23 home runs.
Okay.
Okay? And continues, and he comes back next year, and he's the starting right fielder for the Giants, beginning of the year, next year. And in April, he hits 125 with one home run, and his OPS is terrible, and he gets DFA'd.
That would not surprise
me.
But, it might surprise me either.
Surprise
me he gets DFA'd so quickly, even though Farhan Zaidi has the quick trigger when it comes to that.
But,
seemingly.
And the thing that Farhan Zaidi understands, though, is that some of these guys, and he wouldn't admit it on the record, but I think he understands that a lot of times baseball is about finding the flash in the pan.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, as much as it is about finding the 2019 Mike Yastrzemski, it's also about finding the 2020 Mike Yastrzemski. And the 2020 Mike Yastrzemski is probably not Mike Yastrzemski.
Well,
because guys have hot year, bad year. Who's a real, you know, Donovan Solano's another one. Donovan Solano, been terrific.
Right.
Does that mean Donovan Solano's the starting second baseman for the next 3 years? Heck no.
No, it doesn't.
And I think he's...
If he's my fifth infielder...
So I think that maybe goes to your point. That may be a little bit why I view the Giants the way that I do, because I think they're, you know, this is nice, but it's not like Mike Yastrzemski is some young stud prospect that came up like Cody Bellinger that wow.
Yeah.
This guy is gonna be around for the next decade.
I've been hearing about this guy for a couple of stops,
you know,
in the minors.
Matt Chapman,
and been waiting for him to come up, and now's his time, and look at him shine. You're right. Here was this story. Yastrzemski, here's the first question. Related to the Carl Yastrzemski? Is he related to him? That was gonna be the first question. Then once you found that out, you're like, oh, that's interesting. And that was it.
Right.
And then pretty much that was the story.
And then it becomes, oh, Baltimore had 40 guys better than him?
Yeah, well, yeah, figure that
out. We got some calls, too.
Oh,
Kozer.
Let's do it. Let's get some phone calls. I'm sorry. I don't have those.
We got Chris and Brian.
Goodness gracious.
And Dan. Let's start with Chris and Hayward. Chris, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I appreciate you guys taking my call, man. I love you two together. You guys are knowledgeable and just flows. I had to call in, a long-time listener. I barely called in, and I just have my opinions to myself. But I did go. I'm an A's fan. I did go to the Giants, over to the Giants Stadium the other day to watch the game. And I was saying that, you know, our stadium is a beautiful stadium. It's for us. Until you get to that Giants Stadium, you're just like, oh my God, now this
yeah.
is a ballpark.
You're right.
It's also catered to entertain.
You mean the Giants ballpark?
Totally. No, it's hey. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, Chris. That's a good thing because you want that. You want that for your team. You want a place where the diehards can go and enjoy it and appreciate it the way the Coliseum has been appreciated over the years. But you also want to bring in the rest of the A's fans that are out there that don't have a voice, that want to come to a game because it's entertainment,
yeah.
and they're going to cheer just as loudly as you are, Chris, even though you're a diehard.
Well, here's the difference. Is I always said Giants fans have 30,000 people in the stands and 15,000 real fans.
That could be. And I know the 15,000 that that we might say aren't the true hardcore fan will probably yell at us and say that that's wrong. But I don't disagree with you. I think that they've got a bigger group of people who go to their game for the experience and, you know, a smaller group of the hardcore, you know, dyed-in-the-wool will watch on a Tuesday night in June when the team is out of it. I agree.
Exactly. And it's nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful, like I said, I love the stadium. I go over there anytime I can. It's just, it's a different atmosphere. And it's really how you want to watch baseball.
I like it. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. We're tight on the break. More phone calls coming. 888-957-9570. Lock it into your phone, 95.7 The Game. It's 888-957-9570. It's a beautiful Saturday. You guys are driving around with a lot going on, so you want to do it hands-free. And if you lock the number in, then you can make the phone call. You can join us. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumel. We're on location, Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Right off of 680. If you're going north on 680, we're right to the right. Stop on by, say hello. They are cranking up the grills, which means we are going to be eating meat here in a couple of minutes because I'm hungry. And we're going to have that going on. And stop on by. If you guys are looking for any of your kitchen needs, indoor or outdoor, they've got the best name brands. They've got the best salespeople. They've got technicians. It's an embarrassment to call them salespeople. They're technicians, John. They know everything about the actual live working kitchens inside Friedman's Appliance. My wife and I come here anytime we have kitchen questions. We even got our built-in coffee maker from over here. Oh, look at John, you got all the information in front of us. I'm a Thermador guy. They've got the Wolf displays, the Sub-Zero displays. We've got the Lynx outdoor kitchen right in front of us, John. We got good stuff here, don't we?
Yeah. Absolutely.
They deliver 6 days a week. They deliver anywhere in the nine Bay Area counties. Are you kidding me?
That's it.
Come on by Pleasant Hill, Friedman's Appliance. They got six trucks on the road 6 days a week. All right, that'll do it, Friedman's Appliance, so stop on by. Quick timeout, JD and Coase. Back to your calls next on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game, live from Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. Here's John Dickinson and Jim Cozumel.
My God, it is a gorgeous day today. We're in Pleasant Hill, Friedman's Appliance. It's 74 degrees, blue skies, little breeze, short sleeve shirts on. You got a pair of, why didn't I put my shorts on? You should have put the shorts on.
You got scared, Coaser.
I know.
You were going back and forth earlier. You're like, boy, I'm going to put the shorts on.
Let's... I know. Next break, I'm putting my shorts on.
And then, I don't know, like a gust of wind blew through here.
It did.
And you're like, wait a minute, I need my hoodie. Where's my hoodie? I need a sweatshirt.
I'm delicate. I'm very delicate.
And now you're back to, oh, there comes that wind again.
Yeah, I know. I might put the jacket back on. All right, let's get some phone calls here. 888-957-9570. You can hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line. 95795. Chilton Autobody text line, pretty much saying that people love the Coliseum. Is that the case, John?
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, you know, no A's fan wants to go to Oracle. Giants fans pale in comparison to A's fans. It's a lot of back and forth between the two fan bases.
Let's get to Brian in Palo Alto. Brian, welcome in. You're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got for us on the Giganics?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
I think they're probably not going to make the playoffs. Ironically, if the core could do anything to help the team offensively, I actually think they could make the playoffs. If you could get anything from Crawford, Belvin, Posey, of which they're getting almost nothing. Because you look at all these guys Farhan's brought in for almost nothing. What has he brought in, like five or six guys for like maybe $8 million in payroll?
And they've all produced at a higher level than the name guys.
Producing at a higher level than any of them, which is just incredible. For $8 million, they've gotten like, you know, 65, 70 home runs, 160 RBIs. It's just been really one of the most impressive front office jobs I've ever seen from the Giants.
Hey, does this make you believe, Brian? This is an interesting point you bring up. Does this little run or stretch of finding diamonds in the rough make you more encouraged about the Giants' future under Farhan Zaidi? Or are you still open to discussion on that?
Okay. I mean, for me, I've seen everything I need to see. I feel like we have an inherent advantage in the front office that he can find undervalued assets. I can't think. Can you think of another team in the league that's found five or six guys off the scrap heap for nothing that were this productive? I can't think of another. I can't think of another team. I can't even think of Billy Beane for having done it. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been that impressive. I think, you know, certainly with like Dickerson, assuming he's healthy, Yastrzemski, Vogt, Solano, those guys are all pieces you can bring back. Maybe they're not everyday players, but they're definitely guys that you can platoon. And I think that's what he's looking for, right? He's looking for guys that you can, you know, you can put a lineup out against a lefty or a righty and feel like you have a real chance to win that day. So
wow.
Those guys are all cheap under team control. And, you know, it's just a huge advantage, you know.
I like it. Thanks, Brian. We appreciate the call. It's very nice. And actually, you got us down a road here. I think, you know, there was a question the other day. I was on with Joe Lowe and Dibs, and we were going to kick around the when does the clock start for Farhan Zaidi. But I think I like Brian's angle of, boy, the work Farhan has done, he feels real good about the Giants. Are you, if you're a Giants fan and you see this where the guys you had never heard of before are coming in and producing more than your name brands on your roster, are you starting to think that when Farhan Zaidi finally is able to cycle out of the core,
yeah,
and start to really focus on his type of guys and spend equivalent money for his type of guys, that Larry Bear got it right by picking Farhan Zaidi?
Well, he's going to spend on the right guys. And this is where I think it could wind up being the best of all worlds. It's the fact the Giants do have money to spend. The Giants are willing to spend money on players.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to spend the money on the right players more consistently because Farhan Zaidi's going to know the right guy. I mean, I use Justin Turner as an example, right?
Right.
Justin Turner with the Dodgers. He signed, I think it was a four-year, $64 million contract. And he was in his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I should bring up his exact age right now, and I'll find it. But that it was a contract that made me wonder, wow. Like, it made me kind of go, wow, he's 34 now.
Right.
And I believe he's in the fourth year of that contract. Point being, they signed him when it looked like, boy, I don't know about that contract. And the Giants have signed guys that are like in their 30s to contracts, and then they end up not producing. Point being, the analytics teams, the Dodgers, they see that a guy like Justin Turner isn't going to get that contract and then immediately decline.
Right.
The Giants didn't see that with Brandon Belt or Brandon Crawford, guys that they had around for 4 or 5 years that were their own homegrown players.
Yep. We kept thinking and hearing that Belt is about to make the leap to elite first baseman, and we've been waiting for that hole in his swing to close and him to have the outrageous 30-plus home run year, but it's not going to happen. Here's what I found interesting from our last caller, Brian, when he said, you know, you've cycled the roster enough. You've found these diamonds in the rough. They're producing more than the name brands and the core group. Of the core group, he named three of them: Posey, Belt, Crawford. The other guy from that core is Madison Bumgarner. First three guys of the core all have years remaining on a pretty good sized contract.
Yeah.
The only guy producing from the core, still a question mark. What's his future going to be? Is he going to be a Giant again? Are they going to acquiesce and pay him $25 million a year? Will he accept $25 million a year?
Yeah, I'm not sure what he will or won't accept. They'll put the qualifying offer on him. They'll attach the draft pick to him. And I know this is, you know, you brought this up via Tim Flannery, who brought it up, how the Giants, in his mind, they owed Madison Bumgarner either a big-time contract or to trade him to take that qualifying offer off the table to open him up to bigger offers, because teams that would want to offer him a lot of money may be more reluctant to offer him money because of the draft pick compensation that they would have to lose if they acquire a guy like Madison Bumgarner. To me, the moment you said that, I actually put that as a notch in the category of I think the Giants are less apt to trade him because they're more apt now to get him maybe at a – I think you put the qualifying offer on him, you dare other teams to maybe lose a pick if they want to sign him, and I think you try and swoop in if you're the Giants and get him at a lower number than you would have otherwise, but yet still maybe a higher number than the Farhan value chart may say.
Do we still have San Jose Dan with us, who I wanted to call Pat?
Yeah. We have Dan.
Give me a little Dan. Dan the man in San Jose, welcome in. 95.7 The Game. What do you got for us?
Smallers, let me know. Text me.
Will do. How you doing, Dan? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, I'm okay. Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
So surprised sometimes that I don't hear a lot about Donovan Solano in a positive light, and I was just flipped out when they traded for Scooter Gennett and started playing him instead of Solano. The guy's now hitting 340. He's stinging the ball all over the ballpark. I just don't quite get it. Now, do you think that decision is coming down from Farhan, or is it Boch's decision?
Now, that's the question of the year. How much of the moves made by the Giants on the field are being dictated from up top? Another example, and I think you bring up a great question, is when we see Brandon Belt lead off, do you think that's a Bruce Bochy call, or do you think that's a Farhan Zaidi?
Well, I don't know. Bochy owned that one. I know we've talked about that in this space before. But Bochy owned that one as his. The reality is, with Brandon Belt, no matter whose call it is with Belt, Belt functions more effectively as a leadoff hitter because of his on-base than he does as a power hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a middle-of-the-order hitter. He's just not. He's never been. When the Giants were winning championships with Brandon Belt, he was hitting sixth. I think you'd get away with him hitting second because of the on-base, but hitting him as a leadoff hitter, whoever's decision it was, that's actually genius because he doesn't function. Hitting him as a leadoff hitter and hitting Yastrzemski as a power hitter, that works more than the other way around, although last night it was the other way around. As far as Solano, look, he's part of a platoon. He's not an everyday player.
But he's playing so well.
Yeah, he has, and that's why Joe Panik's not around anymore.
I'll tell you something. You know, and Dan, our last caller, brings up the fact that Solano's swinging a bat well. There are those in analytics who will tell you, well, the reason he's swinging the bat well is we're putting him in the position where
exactly
he could perform at his best. We're not asking him to go out every day and do this.
And he hasn't.
We're picking our spots.
Unbelievable average on balls in play. Like a batting average on balls in play that is due to come down.
Astronomical.
Exactly.
Okay.
I want to say it was 390 or something like that.
Okay. But that's the part of analytics that we kind of have to wrap our head around. And I don't know if we're even using the term analytics is fair anymore. Just that's kind of what we have to do in order to get used to seeing some of these guys have inordinate numbers. And I think Donovan Solano, who's 30 years of age, is that correct? I think he's 30. And when we see a guy like that have those type of numbers, you have to say, what is it, all of a sudden clicked in?
Well, you need the other thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
You got that? Because I was gonna look for it. You got it?
I got it. Yeah, good. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco Radio.com Sports Station. I was actually looking for Donovan Solano piece that I read that had a lot of those numbers we were referring to. So that's why I'm scanning here kind of aimlessly.
No, that's okay.
As we, you know, we're halfway through here on a Saturday out at Friedman's Appliance.
We are actually halfway through the old show here until 1 o'clock. Stop on by Friedman's Appliance here in Pleasant Hill off of 680. And they've got the grills all. In fact, they're seasoning meat right now, John.
I love it.
We got some meat seasoning going
absolutely
on right now.
Absolutely love it.
And with that being said, I might have to dip into that in our next time out and put my shorts on. If you people want to come out and see the sticks, you can come out and see that as well. But come on out to Friedman's Appliance. Back to the Giants. You know what? While you look for the Donovan Solano, can we do some phone calls?
Let's do it.
Let's get Shaka in Berkeley. Shaka, you're next up on 95.7 The Game. What do you got for us, Shaka?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning, man? Thanks.
Doing good, man. Sure.
I want to talk about Yastrzemski, man. He just I didn't watch the first two home runs because I was listening to it on the radio. And it was 6-2, so I thought the game was over. And then I come turn it back on. It's 7-7, and they're going in the extra inning. So I was like, wow. So I found the TV and started watching after that. That guy tattooed that ball. He said 413 feet. He's got to be the rookie of the year because he's doing a tremendous job. We want to give Farhan the credit for that. You know, everybody slams him for not trading Bumgarten and all that, but Solano, Yastrzemski, Pillard, the center fielder, who plays great defense, who also hit two home runs. I mean, they're playing some exciting baseball, man. So I just want to say that, man. Everybody, all the real Giants fans are really pleased with our team, man. Even if we don't make the playoffs, we're playing an exciting brand of baseball, and, you know, it's a good thing going on in San Francisco.
That's great, Shaka. I like that. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, he tattooed it. That was not a wall scraper, as we call some home runs. That was a bomb.
And by the way, that was a bomb that would have gone out of Oracle Park at night.
Exactly. And in the day, maybe it's in the cove.
In the day, it might have hit the scoreboard.
Wow.
But
that's a drive. It is more fun watching the Giants right now.
Donovan Solano, by the way, is batting average on balls in play going into last night, .397.
Wow. That's because they put him in positions to succeed.
Yeah. He doesn't walk much. Yeah. You know, he doesn't strike out a lot. He doesn't walk much. Like there are indicators that say he's due for
sure.
A regression.
That's the advent, and we see this more and more in baseball, the advent of the multi-positional guy. And if you can play a little left field and play a little third base, if you can play second and third, if I can move you around, I can find more opportunities to put you on the field in your optimum, right?
Right.
Not just, it used to be, well, it's a lefty throwing, well, I'm going to do my right-handed lineup. No, I'm going to find the eight guys who hit best against not just a lefty, this particular lefty. And I don't care if you hit lefty or if you hit righty. That's how they look at it. If I can play you at second base on Tuesday and left field on Wednesday because you hit well against these two pitchers, I'm going to find a spot for you.
That's exactly right. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind if you're a Giants fan is the reason that the Farhan Zaidi-type general managers are successful is the ability to continue to find more Donovan Solanos and more Mike Yastrzemskis. And again, I know like Giants fans are used to, boy, you find a player, you love that player's around for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not how it really works. And just look at the way this team was, I don't want to say built, but you find Mike Yastrzemski because you DFA'd five guys before that to get to Mike Yastrzemski. Like, you just there's a minimum level of production that better be there or you're getting cut. And that's the churn
that
comes with it.
Can you compete for a playoff spot with that philosophy? Don't you eventually have to find the core?
Eventually you do have to find it. Well, eventually what you do is that you have to find a new core.
Right.
And that's the thing. And what makes what Farhan's done remarkable in my mind is he's done it with a dead core. Like he's made them, like he is, and I don't know the inner conversations for sure, but you can look at the contracts. You mentioned Posey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.